Live from the Battleborne Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go, Cofield and Company. Battleborne Broadcast Center. Griffin is back in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Griff, how you doing, buddy? We're all snippy-snappy before the show. You okay, bud?
Oh, yeah. It's hump day. Let's get over this middle part of the week and get ready for this big sports weekend.
Nothing to get over. We got a good show on the way. I can't wait for football, which starts again tomorrow with a really loaded Thursday slate, and we get to see Boise on the road. We're going to get into a lot of these games in the 4 o'clock hour on multiple occasions. John Von Tobel will join us, and Justin Watkins, of course. This is his place, the Battleborne Broadcast Center. Alex is alongside. Alex White. Alexandra White is here, and we got Raiders cut day to get to. We got Jacoby Myers situation. But out of the gates, hey, Griff, I'm going to run the sound on my end, okay, as we hash out things as we move along here. We are headed towards a Dan Mullen radio show at 7 o'clock. That's over at Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. Should be some good conversations. Last week's game was not easy against Idaho State. UNLV won the game. But you know what? Mullen's a different sort of cat. He's really different in terms of the way his jib is cut, whatever the hell that means. Very positive. Very positive. I can't say enough about UNLV has in some ways hired carbon copies to be the football and the basketball coach, because both guys were doing TV, both guys were away from the game, both guys took a break, and both guys come in, Alex, with this breath of fresh air where they're not all hardened by all the changes of late. I can't stand what's happened to a lot of coaches, college basketball on the men's side, even some of the women, and football, where coaches are constantly pissed off. They're being challenged to do things differently. Go figure. The rest of us have to morph like every freaking week for changes in, say, like our business.
Right.
These coaches are the highest paid state employees in almost every state, and they're always annoyed. They don't want to get give out information. It's not fun for them anymore, but they make so much money, they don't want to leave it. But Mullen comes in after the game last week, and he's like, yeah, we had some problems, but you know, we got a lot to build on. And he says, you know, in spite of the fact that it was a close game, we're going to celebrate every victory, because wins are hard to get. And anyone on this team who doesn't want to celebrate a victory and is worried about themselves and individual performances, that's not what we want here. Upbeat again on the press conference yesterday. So he's got a really good attitude. And I was speaking of Josh Pastner as the other guy. Pastner, like, basically said that. When you ask him about NIL, he's like, I love it. And you're like, what? Transfer portal, I love it. And you're like, wait, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to be a bitter coach who's all pissed off at the players and grumbly. Not these two guys.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to be said about that in a lot of different fields. Taking a step back, taking a little break, and then you realize, you know, your love for it, and it is a grind. It doesn't feel like a grind. It is a grind, especially, I mean, they don't really have an off season, especially with the NIL and the transfer portal and, you know, trying to figure out their next team. So I can definitely understand why coaches, you know, get the way they do and kind of grumpy and just stuck in that mold. But yeah, both coaches take a step away, come back, new light, excited about what they are doing and their love for it again. So it is nice to see.
So come on by Dan Mullen radio show. Special guest Hunky Cooper and AD Eric Harper will have conversations with center Reed Williams and one of the defensive stars from a week ago, linebacker holdover Marcel McDuffie, who really is one of the anchors of the program. Again, Dan Mullen show every week at 7 o'clock. This week a special Wednesday edition because there's a Friday game. Rest of the time at 215 in Flamingo Parkway Tavern, it's on Thursdays. So coming out of the gates, I got to give some kudos to another one of our local stars, and that is Tom Brady. And I didn't even put this on the rundown, but I got such a kick last week out of him showing up. This was 2 weeks ago. Him showing up for the Raiders home game, the preseason game, and he's got the white satin jacket. He's got the glasses. He's got the skinny jeans. Got the good shoes on. He is, in some ways, with the image, with the jacket especially, Al Davis incarnate. Like, he's a lightning rod, even though he doesn't say a whole lot until he gets on TV. We just got the news today, because I remember seeing a comment when Brady walked in with all the Raiders gear on. Another sports radio cat out of the market was like, sure, it's cool that this guy is also doing Fox TV and, you know, one of the lead for Fox NFL coverage. Well, apparently, him being an owner, I guess the NFL's stance has softened a bit. Hey, Griff, you had the news that now the NFL is like, you know what, Tom, you were banned from talking to the teams and having these pregame meetings that all the announcers have, you know, a couple days out. You know what, Tom, you're good with us. Go ahead and talk to the players. How about this?
Oh, they just anything for the go. Anything he wants, he's going to get. Yes, so they lifted a lot of the ban or a lot of the restrictions that he had previously, which in my opinion weren't that strict. But now they're allowing Brady to do things like attend production meetings, but he is going to be attending those meetings remotely. He's still not allowed to go to other teams' practices, but yeah, they are just here, Tom Brady, do everything we need you to do to be the face of this league, even though you retired a minute ago.
To your point, I was pretty shocked to see this after seeing Tom Brady, you know, in all of his Raiders stuff and really like fully in this co-ownership. So I don't know. I'm surprised, but I think it is necessary in the role as a Fox broadcaster, right? I mean, he has to be able to talk to the players and the coaches ahead of time.
We got some good news. So good news for Tom Brady, good news for his job with Fox. Maybe he'll make a big step up in terms of improvement. I love him. He's great. But he does. I think he can get better. I thought he was going to be really good, and he got crushed last year by a lot of critics. But, you know, hashtag jealousy. I think this is a great deal with the A's. You remember the Raiders, when the Raiders were coming here, as it was put often, hey, when they arrive, they want to arrive. They want it to be a big show. So they didn't want to come to Vegas and use Sam Boyd Stadium. They didn't want to be in a temporary home, even though, you know, things were pretty bad in the Bay Area. So they waited, and they did make a big arrival. Now, they got screwed on the big arrival because then COVID hit. I think the A's were going to take the same attitude. I'm thinking there might be some ulterior motives here, but I don't want to rain on this parade, so let's be positive. The plan was to be in Sacramento, or as they call it, West Sacramento, all the 2027 season, then 2028, they're here and they're brand spanking new stadium at Trop and LV Boulevard. And, you know, all along we're like, I mean, you're playing in a AAA stadium. You got one here that you could use. Now, full time, I think, would be really be difficult, right? It'd be difficult for you guys. You know, you're with the Aviators, you work over there, sharing a stadium. I can't even imagine how Sactown AAA is doing it. That would be difficult. You know what? Not coming to Vegas, not coming to Vegas, not coming to Vegas. Announced the other day, it looks like a handful of games. Next year, home games, six, will be at LV Ballpark.
That's right, two series. I'm super excited.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's smart. I do like some of the elements of the A's build, but I do believe that they have got to be on the ground here more often to start building a fan base because there's a lot of unknowns come 28, 29. We don't know where the economy is going to be. We don't know the timeline of this construction. The hope is 2028, but what if all of a sudden a $2 billion stadium because of construction delays or cost, unknown cost, now it's 2.7, and now you're not here until 2029. They got to start building a fan base here.
No, they definitely do, and if you notice, I mean, they're kind of taking big steps all over, right? Did you see, too, in Sacramento, they're going to do a lot more there for those fans, too, having theme nights and all of this stuff. So I think it's great in regards to both places and getting everybody involved and just, you know, growing the fan base again because it's been a little rough for the A's and they've been getting it from every side of, you know, kind of just hate from everywhere. So it'll be good. I think it's also great connection playing here because, I mean, I think all but two guys right now in the lineup have been here and played for the Las Vegas Aviators, so it'll be nice to see them back in their athletics gear, of course.
We're live today at Battleborn Broadcast Center, Battleborn Injury Lawyers, one of four offices in the city of Vegas, Southern Nevada. This one is in Summerlin. I'm just going to start listing all the areas of Las Vegas. 766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. 766-1400. The great folks here, led by Justin Watkins and Matt Hoffman. If you have an issue, hell, I had an issue last week having some with car insurance. They'll take a look at your car insurance plans and make sure that you're not undercovered or maybe you're overcovered. In my case, I was covered about right. A little pricey right now. So the advice was, hey, you know what? Shop this a little bit. But Justin took care of me. And when you hear people say, you know, around the market, like, hey, that's my attorney. Everyone on the show uses Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Really, we do. And there's been many cases that they've been involved in. We're a very litigious show. 766-1400, Battleborn Injury Lawyers.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company, as we get a chance to bring back our college football insider, love this guy, Michael Felder. I got to tell you, Mike, while I enjoy talking about all the drama around college football and NIL and rules and transfer portal, I really do. I really love talking about the games on the field. But I did want to get your reaction just to what happened over the summer. I'm good with where we are. There's some tweaks needed. Where are you? Are you kind of fed up with the current situation?
Fed up's not the right word. I feel like, you know, when you, this is the way I look at it. It's like if someone left the treadmill on right. like 100 and you just tried to get on it. And that's a real problem. And I think that's what we're trying to do is play catch up, and I don't know if they're going to slow the speed down or not, because obviously expansion of the playoff is happening, the NIL numbers are soaring, transfer portal is like, it's made it hard for me to do what I used to do. You know this, when I was 3 years ago before the portal, 4 years ago before the portal, I used to make my own depth charts based upon practice reports, and now it's almost impossible to do that because you don't know who's going to be there, what this looks like. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. I want to flip this back on you. Look, man, did you see the Bengals jumping out on you like that early?
I thought they'd be able to throw on UNLV. The problem was the defense for the Rebels didn't really make adjustments to defend the run. So they really gashed them with the run. But no, I thought it would be 38-17, not 38-31.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're sound the alarms. I mean, the defense has to get a lot better, and they're on the road this week against Sam Houston State, who can actually run it.
Yeah, I know. And we'll see what you get out of Orgy, I guess, huh? So that's going to be another interesting pick. Like, I thought him moving as a piece was going to be really interesting, and now we get to see how you can use it.
Yeah, they didn't get to use him the way I think they wanted to. Calandria wound up getting 58 to 15 snaps.
Right.
Versus Orgy, because they weren't in the lead. I think if they're in their lead, they're going to run more. They're going to grind clock. He's going to be a bigger red zone weapon, yep. But they needed to throw the ball a lot more. One other week, zero observation, actually, from the Mountain West Conference. Hawaii had a crazy game. Micah Aliheno, who is from Vegas, hurt his foot. I will say one of the things I noticed in the UNLV game, the UNLV did hurt itself with penalties, and there were a couple unsportsmanlike where they were talking trash.
Right.
Stanford got caught in that situation with, believe it or not, a guy who transferred in from Yale, Clay Patterson.
Yes.
Started dancing, shacked in the fool, really cost his team. I think get ready this weekend, folks. The No Fun League is back. I know that's the NFL, but they're going to start calling a lot of stuff early in the season to curb. Why they're curbing and what they're curbing, I don't know, but get ready.
And it depends on who you are, right? I think that's the other part that's been really interesting. Like, we have, like, and for those that don't know, when you see someone say "celly," they're talking about a celebration. just so you know, when you're in the tweets, when you're on the Instagram reels, and they're like, "Check out this celly," they're talking about a celebration. But like, it's going to be really interesting to see how that works out. Stanford, and I talked to Roddy Jones. Roddy Jones, good friend of mine, and Roddy says Stanford is probably the worst Power Five school or Power Four school, I guess now. But he's like, they're the worst one, and I think we saw that. A quarterback on one leg beat them.
Okay, let's go to the top. We got one against three. You got Texas at Ohio State. I saw you talking to our buddies over at BetSweats, and
yes,
you're expecting a high-scoring tilt, and who's going to win and why are they going to win?
I think Texas wins. What was the score I gave up? 37-35, I think?
Correct.
So I think Arch is really him for real. And it's a lot more of going through his like back catalog, and not like he doesn't have as much experience as other guys. But when you go through his back catalog, what we are looking at is a guy who, what made me go through his back catalog actually, Cofield, was when he went up to Ryan Wingo's camp in St. Louis. If you get a guy that can go like deep into, like they call it the trenches, you get a guy that's going to go into the trenches of the Lou, like you got a guy that once is a part of this team. And then I started going backwards, and I work back. I like to work backwards to go forward. And the thing that I saw was then you watch him in the games that he did get big action. And it's not just like wide receivers dapping him up. It's not just offensive linemen, but it's like defensive linemen are like, yo, I mess with this dude the hard way. Like, this guy's my man. I mess with him the long way. Like, this is good. And I think being ingratiated to your team in that way. And then I was like, oh, wait, hang on a second. Two things. He's from New Orleans. New Orleans people are built different. And then also he's been going to the Manning Passing Academy his entire life. So it's not even about like technique and all that. It's he can run, and he spent his entire life around everybody. Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel, like all those guys. He's been around all of them for his entire life. And so I was like, I think he's the one. I think Julian, what is it, saying? I think it's going to be really interesting. And people, they're really pumping him up via Ohio State social media, but we'll see what we get. Obviously, he's a redshirt freshman. So this is going to be – I think we're going to see a good football game. But, again, I do think that – and here's the reality for football. And you know this as well as I do. Like, because you're there. Defensive back makes a mistake. What do we call it? Tell me. What do we call it? If a defensive back makes a mistake, what do we call it?
Yeah, he got burned.
We call it a touchdown.
Yeah, we call it a touchdown.
And you only – what do you – if the – as long as the quarterbacks make the right throw – four mistakes in a game is four touchdowns. That's a scary thing to have in your head. Like, that's scary. And that's why they say you got to have a short memory. But at the end of the day, some guys don't, and you get in your head. And also, this is the first game. So there's a lot at stake. Although, with the new format, I don't know that it's going to hurt either one of them to lose. I think it's just going to be one of those things. Because we saw Ohio State lose to Oregon. And then guess what? They went out and put one on the board.
I'm a little worried about Ohio State in terms of the defense. They lost a lot off the defense, and I'll give you the name, and it's not a player. Jim Knowles they lost. I think Matt Patricia is a buffoon, and this is his first test. Good luck, Matt. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah, I think that's a huge move, like a humongous transition. I also think the pieces they lost along the defensive line and kind of that hybrid lineman, because you lose Simon, you lose Jack Sawyer, you lose JT, you lose those three guys, and those guys are like lifers. So where does your identity come from now? And I think that is a big thing that we have to talk about, like a big thing that we have to look at when they lace them up on Saturday at noon.
Hand in the Dirt podcast, that In the Bleachers up on Twitter. He's now doing North Carolina 24/7, UNC 24/7. Michael Felder's up on Cofield and Company. Busy offseason with the mouth for guys like Diego Pavia, but Tommy Castellanos from BC down to Florida State. Yep. I mean, Florida State very frustrated with what they had a year ago. They're at home. They're catching 13.5 against Bama. Where are we going on this one?
Dude, folks are hyped for Ty Simpson. One, that's Alabama's quarterback. Two, I don't know. Like, when I talk to Mike Norvell at ACC Media Days, I mean, I don't know if there's a more positive guy out there. Like, truly, if you had a spectrum, Bill Belichick would be all the way off the spectrum because he didn't really talk to anybody.
Yeah.
But you would have Mike Norvell's like the most positive guy, and Dave Doran at NC State as the least positive guy. And not positive. I'm not talking about their team. I'm just talking about the attitude that they come into, like, the you've done media days. Like, there's some coaches that are like, ah, yeah, this is great. That's Mike Norvell. And there's other coaches. So we have media days, and it's right next to a YMCA that I belong to. So I went and got my mile in, and then I looked down, and I told my guys for Learfield, I told them, I said, hey, if we get someone, call me, because I'll have my headphones in, and then I can answer, and I'll be there in a second. They didn't call me. They text me. My phone's on silent all day. So I'm walking the track upstairs, and I look, and I see Dave Doran sit down, and I was like, I got to get there. And when it took 2 minutes. It only took 2 minutes. But Cofield, he was hot already.
Yeah.
One word answers.
Ah.
And I was like, okay, look, I can fix this. And I did. I fixed it.
Yeah.
That's something about football players. For people that don't, when football players talk to football players, you talk football and you're good to go. And I took out my notebook and I said, hey, man, can you draw me up your favorite play? And he was like, oh, come on. And then we did this and we do this and we do that. And I was like, and then he started to talk.
Yeah.
And it was nice because they weren't asking him about NIL. They weren't asking him about the rivalries. They weren't asking. He got to talk about football. And so it was really cool. But no, to go back to the point with Florida State, Norvell's positive, but Castellanos, I liked him at BC. What are we going to get out of him? What does this look like? They have in their two deep, I think they've got like 9 transfers. And obviously we saw that not go great for them with DJ last year. We're going to see what it looks like this year. And I am curious to see what they look like defensively, because at least they're a little bit more cohesive defensively. But Alabama, I think, will give them the work. And then did you already ask about Clemson and LSU?
No, let's talk. Let's continue on the ACC. That's a big one. LSU at Clemson, and Clemson's laying 3.5.
I think we're looking at quarterback 2A, 2B. I don't care which order you put them in, but I think Nussmeier and Cade Klubnik are 2A, 2B behind Arch.
Wow.
In terms of NFL draft. Like, I think they're both really, really talented, really good. I don't know where I put Drew Aller, if we're being honest. I don't have time to think about it, because I don't know that he's that good, but we'll see. But when we get to see Cade and Garrett, let me ask you. This is what I love to do. You know I love doing this, flipping it back on you. Who is Garrett Nussmeier's best quarterback coach?
Coach or comp?
Coach. You know the answer.
It's probably his father.
Exactly. Thank you for getting it right. Yeah. So for everyone talking about Brian Kelly development and this, the only reason I think that Garrett Nussmeier is still, because think about this. If you look at every single Brian Kelly quarterback, what do? Come in with a splash, and then it just goes down, 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 right? I think Garrett Nussmeier is able to keep it even and keep pushing up because of his father, because he's been taught how to play quarterback, because he knows you know what? I don't mind saying it. I think he probably knows more than Brian Kelly about playing quarterback. Not more about football in general, but more about the quarterback position. Dad played in the NFL. Dad coached in the NFL. Dad coached in college. He knows more about that quarterback spot. And so I think that's the interesting part here. I do think Clemson wins. I think they win on the strength of that defense.
There is Michael Felder, Hand in the Dirt podcast, in the bleachers, up on Twitter, Tar Heel 24/7. We mentioned a lot of lines in the game. One of the great spots in town to bet the college football games in week one is the William Hill Sportsbooks around town. William Hill US up on the web, williamhill.us up on the web. And of course, on the pro side, Pro Pick'em contest is back. $25 entry fee, no point spread. You just pick the winning teams. Over $1.2 million in cash prizes. There is a $1 million bonus if you get 215 wins on the season. You buy 4 entries, you get a 5th free. For more information, williamhill.us on the web. Register today. Don't wait until the last minute. It's the Pro Pick'em contest with William Hill. And don't forget, the NFL Progressive Cards are out now at all William Hill full-service locations. A $5 card can win you up to $50,000, and it's a Progressive. If it doesn't win 1 week, it rolls over even bigger money down the road with William Hill.
Live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, a lot of big Raider news. Last couple days, a lot of news around the NFL with cuts, but particularly with the Raiders, because it all started this weekend. What was your reaction to AOC, Aiden O'Connell, going down with a broken wrist for 6 to 8 weeks?
I know. I mean, mostly my reaction is just feel sorry for him and worry for him. And we've talked about it on the show that, you know, these aren't really his guys anymore. So, you know, he's playing his heart out just trying to keep that number two spot to be Geno Smith's backup. So it definitely hurt. But I was more shocked that both of our FCS guys got waived.
I know.
Cam Miller, I thought he did a pretty good job at trying to make a case to being one of the backup quarterbacks.
Why do you say our guys? What'd you like about Cam Miller and Tommy Mellott? The stories?
Yeah, the stories, definitely. And I mean, Tommy Mellott, that's tough, right? They drafted him and then tried to switch him over to wide receiver. But yeah, I guess the stories, we talked about it off and on here on this show, but... And Cam Miller, first preseason game, or maybe second preseason game, I remember
first
talking about him.
Yeah, first played well and had the deep touchdown pass. But, you know, when you're coming from SES, it's hard to make teams. Practice squad's where it's going to be at for a lot of these guys. And not everyone makes the NFL on the first go-around.
Very true.
You know, it could be a long process. Sometimes you might not break through for 3 or 4 years.
I think Kenny Pickett is a good pickup. As a backup.
So, and it's Cofield and Alex White on the Raiders. AOC goes down over the weekend, 6 to 8 weeks, broken wrist. Aiden O'Connell, going to be the two. My list of quarterbacks, and not everyone was officially available, but clearly the Raiders were willing to spend some draft capital. My list in order was go get. One, Jameis Winston. Two, Drew Lock. I had... Pick at three. Now, I had some other guys who got cut, like Taylor Heineke, which I thought was going to happen because of Trey Lance's advancement. So that was kind of the top of my list, and I thought there were some other players beyond that. We kind of hashed it out early in the week on DTR, local, Bishop Gorman, UCLA, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, that he's really not a number two right now. And then Willie made the case, it would be really tough to come in here. Even with a Chip Kelly relationship going back to UCLA, it'd be really tough to come in here with the pressure if he actually had to play.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I don't know if this is the healthiest place for him to be. But that said, like, if he wants to be in the NFL, if this was the only option. But I didn't love, because immediately people were like, DTR. Like, it's one touchdown, 10 interceptions in his career.
Right.
He's a three, and he's still developmental.
Definitely still a three. And I was almost going to say, Kenny Pickett, you know, has had the experience, but you're right. We did see a lot of DTR and not ready yet to if he had to step in. Big news in the wide receiver, though?
I want to get to that in a second because I think you hit something else. With Aiden O'Connell down 6 to 8 weeks, they just spent a fifth, which that has some value. They spent a fifth-round pick on Kenny Pickett to be the backup. I don't think there's a spot now for Aiden O'Connell. What do you think? They're going to spend a fifth and then cut Kenny Pickett?
Right. No.
And Aiden O'Connell, I don't think is going to, if you try to keep him on the active roster, cool, but I think they have so many needs and so many areas that they need for depth. And they also, the way they structured the roster, they have some positions that are really short right now. Now, they've got 2 weeks to kind of figure things out. I just don't see, if they like Pickett, you know what? It doesn't even matter. He would have to be horrific in practice after you spend a fifth round pick,
right?
To, you know, whatever, 6 or 8 weeks later to go, you're cut. We love AOC. I think this is a sign that whether Aiden O'Connell went down with a broken wrist or not, that this regime was not in love with Aiden O'Connell. He had some bad moments during the preseason. And I told everyone yesterday, when you get a new regime coming in, and especially when you're OC, is making $6 million a year. Putting it harshly would be, he's going to get his way. Now, I can't guarantee you that Chip Kelly went in there and he's like, Aiden O'Connell, guys, this ain't happening. Whether he broke his wrist or not, we got to get another guy. But I think everyone from the old regime should be watching. Ooh. Right? Anyone who thought they had established themselves and has some equity, what equity with this guy, with this group do you have? So,
I mean, it definitely opened a can that had to be taken care of immediately, right? Because you had to have a backup in place right now for the 6 to 8 weeks, and they took care of that. You're right. They did spend a fifth-round pick on it. So that does kind of move him up. Now, Aiden O'Connell, when he comes back, would he go to the practice squad for the time being? You think?
Now, the flip side of that is I think by then there'll be quarterback needs elsewhere.
Okay.
I don't think he makes it to a practice squad.
Okay.
Or he makes it to this practice squad.
Right.
Like he's going to be good in someone else's eyes. Maybe for the Raiders, it's not the right guy.
Right.
Wide receiver.
He should be a two somewhere, I think.
He can be a two he somewhere. Is he
better?
I mean, if we were ranking quarterbacks, and I don't have a current 64, top 64 quarterbacks, do I think he's 33 to 40? No. I think he's probably in the lower half of backup quarterbacks. So it's going to be in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
You know, Pickett's played a lot.
Yes.
And while his numbers are not unbelievable, he did, you know, he got a lot of starts with Pittsburgh. I think his career numbers are 15 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Still has upside. And remember, what was O'Connell, fourth round pick? And a lot of people thought that was a little higher up than most had him slotted. Kenny Pickett is a former first round pick. Yes. Probably overdrafted, but still a former first round pick.
Yes.
So there's some respect for him around the league. And there's got to be respect for him with the Raiders because we talked to some people yesterday on the show, and I can't remember what we have on day to day, but they thought the fifth was too high. But they're in a position where they got to get a backup quarterback. So, all right, receiver. Let's start with the pickup of Amari Cooper. Do you like it?
I love it. I do. I mean, I expected more from Amari Cooper with his one-year deal with the Bills last year. Kind of a crowded wide receiver room there. So I think that there is room for him with the Las Vegas Raiders. And, I mean, Jacoby Myers is the one, and then it was kind of questionable after that, and now we're, you know, the news about Myers. But I do really like it, coming back full circle moment for him, and I still think he has some left. So I'm excited to see him paired with Geno Smith.
Let me make one correction, too, because I was looking at this early this morning. I know Vincenzo over on Raider Nation Radio 920 with the RJ Bonsignor. As of now, O'Connell is on the 53-man roster. So that'll be interesting to see kind of how they maneuver this the next couple of weeks. Now, on Amari Cooper, I think it's a decent pickup. This is probably the right coaching staff for him. He's a guy who's kind of interesting to manage. Kind of interesting to manage. And I think this is, for the most part, a player's coaching staff. I don't know that that has been the case the last couple of years when he was with Buffalo and then Dallas.
Correct.
I think he can still be productive. I think they need him.
Yes.
I got to tell you, next week I think I'm going to make some bets on the show. I'm going to see if anyone will take them. Between the content creators and then people outside the market, the excitement level about Dante Thornton is cool, but I'm seeing like he's going to be the number two receiver. So if you're willing to say number two receiver, then you're willing to bet me a combo of, say, 50 touchdowns, 800 yards. Did I say 50 touchdowns? 50 receptions. 50 touchdowns would be amazing. Under 50 receptions, 800 yards, 6 touchdowns. Do you believe Dante Thornton is going to do that this year?
Ooh, those are some big numbers there. Good year at Tennessee last year coming in here. I know there is a lot of hype.
Did they have 24 catches last year?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I did my research recently. I actually didn't. I remember that number because I'm like, he is very much a developmental guy. And he went in the fourth round for a reason. Does he have tremendous upside at 6'5", 205, and you know, a 4.35 40? Of course he does. But people get so geeked up with receivers, what they see in the preseason, it is really hard to break through that first year.
Yeah.
And they've got other guys. Like Trey Tucker is a nice receiver. Jack Besh is going to be good. Listen, Bowers is going to get, I don't know, 140 targets? Jacoby Myers, as long as they can make him happy and he's going to stay. They're not going to trade him. He's getting 110 targets. For Dante Thornton to break through to the point where he's going to get 50 catches for 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, that would be an incredible rookie season.
Well, let's talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. and what everybody expected from him just in his first year. And you know, we didn't see all of that last year with the Cardinals. So you're right. It does take these wide receivers some time. But, I mean, yeah, I've seen a lot of hype. You're right, on social media. So I'm not going to take that bet. But I'm sure you'll find somebody that will take it.
Now, flip side of this with let's get back to Amari Cooper, right, that we both like it, that there's upside. Flip side of this is Adam Hill hates it.
He does.
Hates it. Consistent with what Adam says on this show, and Adam's back on Friday on Cofield & Company. He said, every decision with this organization should be about 2026 and 2027. That is consistent with what he said. And his rationale there is, if there is a position that is being battled for, it should be young guys who are playing. So Cooper, as he put it, does not add any wins this year. I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm not saying sportsbooks are like, plus 1.5 wins. But I do think he can help them win this year. And for this organization, they want to win this year. And there's enough playing time at wide receiver that Besh and Tucker and Thornton and others will get some targets, will get some time. So I think they lack experience at receiver. They got to have some reputable guys out there aside from Myers.
I agree. I mean, I'm baffled by what Carolina is doing right now, and I do not like it where they are just going all in on their young receivers and just praying for the best, even though we finally saw Bryce Young get comfortable, right? So this year, and it feels like a kind of a trend with coaches coming back to the NFL or moving teams, right? Sean Payton, Harbaugh, and now we are seeing it here with Pete Carroll. They're going to make those one-year deals with veterans and with guys that they formerly coached. There's a few on the Raiders on the defensive side. So I can understand it with them wanting a veteran wide receiver that they can trust, right? Because they want that first year to be padded a little and look good when they are coming back to the league or switching teams.
Well, you're a betting woman, so maybe we can set something up with Adam Hill, unless he ruins it with 73 qualifiers. Maybe we can have a Amari Cooper head-to-head with Dante Thornton.
Yeah.
For receptions on the year. I think a lot of fans would probably take Dante Thornton over Amari Cooper. One of the great contests that we've been introduced to in town, the new Super Contest, the College Football Super Contest. Of course, everyone knows about Westgate Super Contest. We've got a College Football Super Contest, 100% payback, top 10 winners get paid. Contestants select 7 college football games each week against the contest line. It's just $500 to get in. Get in now. Entries are going to close coming up here in just a couple of days. Remember, Westgate is also the home of JVT, Saturday Football Preview Show. That's 8 o'clock, again, on Saturdays. Talking a lot about the College Football Day and the College Football Super Contest. And then back again on Sundays, the Sunday Football Preview. That'll be 8 to 9 in the Superbook at Westgate. Get on over to Westgate, the Superbook, and get in these great contests. Headed up by the brand new College Football Super Contest over at the Westgate.
Now back to Cofield & Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center on ESPN Las Vegas.
So we got the Dan Mullen Radio Show coming up, 7 o'clock, a special Wednesday edition. Alex is here. It's Cofield. Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. You know, I enjoyed the press conference again yesterday with Dan Mullen, upbeat. I guess everything will change when they, if they lose a game. I don't think they're going unbeaten this year. But generally, pretty good attitude. Even when watching a defense that got kind of beat up, gave up 555 yards against Idaho State. Clearly, there are some fixes needed in terms of execution. He mentioned that. And this week's not going to be easy because Sam Houston State, 10-3 a year ago, just like UNLV, they lost tons of players because their coach moved on, Casey Keeler, to Temple. Phil Longo is in. But one of the guys they have back is Hunter Watson, their quarterback, and he is a good dual-threat quarterback. Longo made sure to tell me yesterday when we talked to him on Cofield & Company that, hey, people are sleeping on Hunter Watson's throwing ability because he's a really good runner. Last year he rushed for 647 and 9 touchdowns. Here's Mullen talking about the challenge this week going from a true throwing quarterback to a guy who's more of a runner.
Well, you know, he's a little different style quarterback than what we faced last week. You watch of him, obviously had a really long run on quarterback draw. Like he can run the football, but you see a lot of his plays too are kind of the off schedule plays, his ability to scramble, extend plays, do some of those things. So you got to do a good job of containing him, keeping him in the pocket that way. You know, but he can also hurt you with the quarterback run game, like the actual called quarterback runs, not the the extended scramble. So you got to be aware of both of those situations, try to contain him and contain his running ability.
Hunter Watson, going to be a dangerous weapon. And, you know, a lot of that 555 was actually on the ground. I think that the pass game, the defense wasn't great. They got a bunch of interceptions, so that was a good thing. But what Idaho State did to him on the run, check that, on the run game was pretty tough. Listen to a little more grading the defense here by Mullen as he talks about, you know, getting some couple of bad breaks at replay, and also the fact that Idaho State had some guys who really excelled and made some amazing catches.
Bunch of their plays were their guys. They made some spectacular plays. Allowed them to stay on the field with a couple of third down penalties and mistakes. I think they had a couple of third and super longs where they leapt up, and the one on the sideline where they looked like the kid, you know, the one, both of them, two third and super long plays that got reviewed. And both calls, they did the call stands, you know, but when you're not on TV, you don't get those angles. I think, you know, if it was a TV game, I don't know, like the game film, it looks a little different to me, but then what they said, you know, those are opportunities. Those are, and then you take the extended ones on penalties. Those are, you get given up opportunities that we don't want to give up.
The replay thing is interesting because they did get victimized a little bit by a lack of camera angles. There was an amazing catch later in the game on the sideline where I didn't think a player, the wide receiver for Sam Houston State, got a foot down. So, but bottom line is they made a lot of plays, and a couple of replays going the other way wouldn't help them that much overall.
It's pretty crazy. These two both, well, UNLV and then their opponent in Sam Houston State, both played in week zero, right? So kind of know what to expect now going into this one. And it's usually you can say, okay, they have one game under their belt, but I mean, Sam Houston State does too against Western Kentucky.
Did you handicap this one for the total? The game coming up?
Because I actually
thought Sam Houston State gave up 41, and they gave up 401 in the air.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was a total gutted defense. You know, they really had to start over there. You brought up the quarterback in Hunter Watson. So they did have some coming back offensively, but defensively, nothing really. So, yeah, I actually made it lower, but it has been bet up completely. There might be a point where you can buy back there. But people are definitely taking the points with Sam Houston, too.
You know, the thing with UNLV is what I saw on offense, I think, is going to continue throughout the season. I think they'll get even more production because Mullen did point out they were also in the red zone a bunch of times, and they wound up getting a couple points when they actually got in the red zone four times. So he was saying, you know, if we get in the end zone like we're supposed to when right. we're in the red zone, then we probably should have been plus 25, but they missed two field goals. Alex yes. Georgie got a touchdown and then, you know, fumbled, good hit right on the wrist, fumbled through the end zone.